Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Well, I don't know exactly what the rules are going to end up being, but the Obama administration has announced, I believe today, what they're calling a notice of proposed rulemaking on the HHS mandate. Now, the problem, of course, if you know the story, and who doesn't, the story that the Health and Human Services Administration is going to make it mandatory for all employers who provide health insurance, if I get my facts right, including religious employers, to provide for contraception. And this not only causes some qualms of conscience and some troubles among those of us who have concerns about contraception, but it also raises the bigger issue of religious liberty and the sanctity of conscience in the public square. Do the new proposed rulemaking make the situation better? Joining us to talk about this new policy announced today by the Obama administration regarding the HHS mandate, Dr. David Stevens. He's a regular guest and CEO of the Christian Medical Association based in Bristol, Tennessee. Dr. Stevens, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Great to be with you, Todd.
To put the best construction on it, can we at least give the Obama administration credit for trying to address the concerns that many of us have about the HHS mandate and religious liberty?
I'm glad they're trying to address it again, but I think they've been kind of boxed into a corner. There are 44 suits going forward about this, the constitutionality of it. 10 of those they've been ruled against, and they're now going to be appealed to the next level, and only 4 of they won. So they kind of saw the writing on the wall, and the other ones they've just kind of put off, saying this isn't ripe yet, you know, we're going to come forward with more rules. Unfortunately, what they've done is really unacceptable. They did broaden the definition of what religious organizations are, but they're still requiring insurance carried by those religious organizations to cover contraception, including the morning after pills like Ella, which we know work just like RU486, the abortion pill. So this is a big issue, and religious organizations and others aren't very happy with what they're proposing.
So although they may be trying to address our concerns, they haven't really done anything to address the basic concern.
Well, what essentially they said was you don't have to pay for contraceptives. We're going to tell the insurance company that they have to give them to the patient free, and we'll give them a separate coverage, a separate policy just for contraceptives, and they'll have to provide that free. That's just verbal engineering. I mean, you're going to get insurance. It contains contraceptives that we know cause abortions for our Catholic brothers and sisters or others who are concerned about giving contraception at all. It doesn't take away the issue of moral complicity. Secondly, they're deciding still who merits the protections of the First Amendment. They're saying only certain types of religious organizations, secular businesses, private business owners, they cannot opt for this. They have to provide these abortifacients over their objections. So there's still a lot of problems here.
What, in your opinion, as you've watched this unfold over the last several years, what, in your opinion, is behind this administration, and particularly the HHS department, their desire to, at least at the beginning, force religious employers to do these things?
Yeah, they see it as a woman's rights issue, but it's pretty thin ice to skate on because even President Obama himself said 99% of women in this country use contraception sometime during their life. The government pours millions, multi-millions of dollars in providing reduced cost or no cost contraceptives. So it's very difficult to make the case, well, we're doing this because there's this terrific need. Some would say that they're doing this to help some of their supporters. They're in this industry, especially Planned Parenthood and other groups who all of a sudden have no co-pays, no deductions on all the contraceptives and sterilizations that they do besides the abortions. So it's a real sop to those that are in the industry because essentially they can prescribe to their heart's content. Patients don't have to pay a penny.
I also wonder whether or not part of at least the initial push on the part of the administration was, I mean, it's kind of, it, to me, and I'm cynical about this, Dr. Stevens, it looks like the way you would go in negotiating. What you might want is some sort of concession on this to expand coverage for contraception. But you don't play that card first. You play the card that's going to knock it all over first, and then you'll give a little ground. Do you think some of that is going on here, essentially drawing a line in the sand and saying, you know, if we really could, we would, but since we're not going to be able to force everybody, we will get as much as we can, even out of religious employers?
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. And, you know, if you read HHS's and the statement that went out today, it's 30, 40 pages long. You know, they list the arguments. They got over 200,000 comments about what they did, and they put those into categories and list the categories. And they very frankly say there's, you know, we got saying that everybody should do this despite their religious rights. Religious institutions should be forced to do this. And as if this contraceptive mandate trumps the First Amendment of the Constitution, which says that we shall have the, you know, freedom of religion and the practice thereof. Secondly, you know, you can only have religious freedom if you're not Hobby Lobby or some secular organization. You must still, under the modifications today, provide this. Schools, it's very unclear, Christian schools, how they're going to handle this. And they only mention higher education or Christian high schools going to have to provide this type of contraceptive coverage. I mean, there's just so many things here that just don't make sense. And plus, the government does not, under the law, have the right to turn to an industry and say, you must provide this free, because we told you you had to get us out of this problem. That's essentially what they're doing with every insurance company in the country.
Two other questions in that vein. Do you think the Obama administration understands the consequences, just the inevitable consequences? And I'm thinking here about Catholic charitable organizations, Catholic, and it's not only Catholic organizations, but they're the most obvious examples. Adoption agencies, all these kind of organizations that are employers, Catholic hospitals, universities, who, if push comes to shove, will do the right thing rather than capitulate to this kind of coercion. Do you think they see the disaster that would cause?
Yeah, I'm not sure they do. You know, I can't read their minds, but they continue to push. We expected more from this latest ruling. I mean, because as you mentioned as you were coming into this, there are a ton of people upset about this, and not just religious people, realizing that this is an important right. It's not just religious. There may be people on moral grounds decide they don't want to use contraceptives or shouldn't be forced to pay for them, especially when they include things that they know can cause an abortion. What happened with the Federal Drug Administration is that they're calling abortifacients actually contraceptives, these morning after pills that we know can have that effect. They're saying, oh, they're just contraceptives, even though on their own packaging of them, and Ella in particular, it says, well, it can interrupt a pregnancy after it's established. It can cause it to abort. And yet they still say, no, this is a contraceptive. This verbal engineering, changing the meaning of words to mean whatever you want, unfortunately is becoming more common in this day and time, and we're especially seeing it in government circles.
Has the Obama administration, at least on this issue of the HHS mandate, underestimated the resolve?
I think so. I think they were surprised, and I believe that if we back down on this, then the First Amendment is almost meaningless. Unfortunately, what the administration's trying to do is to define not freedom of religion, but freedom of worship. And you'll hear those words again and again. Go do what you want in your synagogue, your mosque, or your church. But once you walk outside the door, your religious convictions mean nothing in the public square. That's not what the intent of our founding fathers was when they wrote the First Amendment to the Constitution.
With only 30 seconds, that's a narrowing of religious freedom right there, a drastic one, isn't it, Dr. Stevens?
It is. And the definition the first time around was so restrictive that only churches qualified. Jesus Christ, the disciples, and Mother Teresa wouldn't have qualified under their, quote, accommodation on this issue. And then that sticks for everything else they're going to do in the future. Very chilling.
Dr. David Stevens is CEO of the Christian Medical Association based in Bristol, Tennessee. You'll find a link to the Christian Medical Association at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Stevens, thank you for your time. Keep up the good work.
God bless you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend a little time here in the very last part of this first hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, going over some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, and we like to respond to as many of them as we possibly can. It's a line we leave open for all of our listeners, especially for our beloved on-demand listeners who listen, well, kind of they listen on a lag, a week late, maybe sometimes longer than that. And we want to give them a chance to ask a question or contribute to the conversation or make a show suggestion or criticism. The Issues Etc. comment line, a response to your calls right after this. By the way, that line, if you want to call it any time of day or night, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. And then in the second hour of the program, Pastor William Foy will join us to talk about women in combat, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.